Amen. All right. Second chapter of the book of Exodus. What does Exodus mean? The way out. The road out. All right. The way out. There's only one way to get out of this world and into heaven, too, by the way. And that typifies so plainly in here. What is that way? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. All right. Now let's find out something here. Now we looked. We're on page number 42 in your syllabus. Page number 42. And in the workbook, the Bible in 8 Ages, you're on page 253 there and onward, okay? And these, so there's where you are. And in your Bible, you're in Exodus, the second chapter. And let's look at this now. We looked at it a little bit last week. Moses' mother's name was what? Jochebed, which means what? Jehovah is honor. All right. And his father was name was?
Amram.
What does his name mean?
Exalted
people. All right. And his sister was name? Fatty. Her name was Fatty. That's what her name was. It was Miriam, but that's what it means. Fat girl. All right. And that was not a derogatory statement. It was a statement of honor because she wasn't skinny. A skinny girl was somebody from a poorhouse. All right. So this girl wasn't. And his brother's name was what?
Aaron.
All right. And Aaron means what?
Enlightened
or illuminated one. All right. And now we're going to find out, how did Moses come to live in the household of Pharaoh? And that's where we are. Okay? Now, by the way, did Moses know his real family? Now, without watching the Ten Commandments, and Cecil B. DeMille now. Okay? Did Moses know his family?
Yes.
Why?
Because his mother raised him.
His mother raised him. He knew who they were all the time. I mean, you see the movie, and it's a big mystery, but it was not a big mystery. He knew who his mother was, and God paid his family for raising the Messiah that was to lead them out. Okay? The anointed one that was supposed to lead them out. And Moses is a type of what? Jesus. In that fashion. All right? So let's go on 2 and 5. Verse number 5. 2 and verse number 5. Brother John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it.
All right. Now, here we have Pharaoh's daughter. Now, she came down to the Nile River. What was the Nile River to the Egyptian people?
Life itself.
Life itself. It was one of their major gods. They would go down there and they would bathe in life. In the river. It was giving them life. And they would worship the river. So she came down here to worship the river. To worship one of the gods of Egypt. And she was down there bathing. And she saw a basket floating in the river. And do you think that God had anything to do with that?
Oh,
everything. All right? Everything to do with it. Now, the basket was among the reeds. I believe God guided that basket there because He wanted this. All right? And she brought, and she had her maid bring it to her. And number six, Brother Rex, are you there?
I can't remember
yet. Okay, all right. Brother David.
When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children."
All right. She had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, what did she think was going to happen to that child? Huh? It was going to be killed by what?
Crocodiles.
All right. By a crocodile. Or a big fish in the river. All right? And it just, the Greek word for this is drakona. All right? For those crocodiles is drakona. We get our word dragon. And in the book of Revelation, Satan is called the drakona, the great dragon. Okay? We're going to see a little bit more about this later. But the word for snake is what in Hebrew?
Nahash.
All right. Now when Aaron's rod became the serpent, it was not Nahash. Surprise? Surprise? All right. We're getting ahead of this a little bit. But the word in Greek for that, what that rod became, was like a crocodile. It's called a howler. It's also called a jackal. Okay? Uh-huh. There's words in Greek. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. Let's give you previews of coming attractions. What's going to happen down here by the river, okay? Just think about that one. Look it up. That'll give you plenty of time to look that word up. Brother Rex.
Did the Greeks have a word for snake?
Yes. Opus. Opus. Pithona. Our, what we get our word reptile from. But this is Dracona.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. Because it's not the same word in Hebrew. It's not even the word for snake. Okay? Brother Bill. Let's don't get over there too much right now, okay? Okay. All right. Yeah, but we're going to get there though, Bill. I was just giving you something to think about. Think about this. All right, just think about this one until we get there. All right. The word in Hebrew is tannin. It's not nahash. Okay. So just look that up just a little bit in the meanwhile. But we're going to be there pretty soon. All right. Now she opened up this basket and she saw a Hebrew child that was sentenced to death here, and she knew he was going to die, and she had mercy on him. Why do you think that that she had mercy on him?
Because he was so cute.
God opened her heart. He did. This is the unpreventable progress of God. This is God's eternal purpose. That's exactly what happened right there. All right. Number seven. Sister Andino, are you there?
Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?"
Now, who is this sister?
Miriam.
She was standing by. All right. Now, it doesn't tell her name here. You have to look all through the Bible to find all these names. I gave them to you, but you've got to go quite a few ways. All right, before you find it. That she may nurse the child for you. Now we find out that God is not only going to save this child, but He's going to get Pharaoh to pay for them to take care of him. Babysitter. All right, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the providence of God? God's unpreventable progress. Number eight. See what happens here now. Here we have the answer to it. Anna, are you there?
Yes, do the princess.
All right. All right. So the young girl went and called the baby's mother. All right. So here we have everything taken care of. God is going to raise up this prince in Egypt. And God does things in 40-year periods in the Old Testament. You ever notice that? We're going to find that in Moses' life. All right. Number nine. Randall.
Israel's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him.
Do you think God has got a sense of humor? You think God might have a sense of humor? They were going to condemn the child, and now Pharaoh is going to pay for the raising of this child. All right? Huh? Has a perfect plan and an unpreventable progress. You know, the old devil is a masterful deceiver, but God is more powerful. The devil is a masterful deceiver, but the Lord is more powerful, isn't he? And everything's going to come out right anyway. Number 10. Young lady, would you like to read that for me? Number 10. Exodus 2 and 10.
When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
All right. Isn't that beautiful, too? And what does Moses mean? To draw out. Even with her, in her mind, she named him prophetically, because Moses would draw Israel out of Egypt. It just fits in place just like a fine puzzle, doesn't it? All right. Now, number 11. You want to read that also for me? Number 11.
One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people.
One of his own family. All right, one of his own family. He saw an Egyptian beating one of his own family. How do you know that it was one of his family? Now, get away from the Ten Commandments for a while. Because he knew who his family was. So this must have been one of his own family. Okay? One of his own family was beaten. It could have been Aaron. Who knows? All right?
Does it say that here? That it was one
That's
of
one of his own family.
Where does it say that?
Brethren.
Okay?
Well,
maybe
brother.
That meant the whole bunch.
Well, it was probably, the term that is used is probably one of his close relatives. All right? It could have been Aaron. It could have been any of his family. But it was somebody close. It could have been a cousin, nephew, whatever. All right? But one of his own family has been beat up by an Egyptian. And then number 12, what happened over there in number 12, Brother Mike? All right. He struck him down. He killed him. He killed him and hid him in the sand. He buried him. All right. Brother Wally.
When we were in the British Museum, I seen a dried up man, which they had taken out of the sand. And it was in sort of a case thing, you know.
Yeah.
It must have been him.
Well, I'll tell you what, you put somebody in the sand out there and they shrivel up.
Yeah.
There was one time when it was very click to have an Egyptian mummy in your house, in your parlor. They found so many and discovered so many mummies over there. They had just gobs of them, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. They were taking the cloth off of them and recycling it in the mills in England. Did you know that? They were taking the linen off of that. What's linen made out of?
Flax.
All right. They were taking the linen off of them because it was very high grade from the royal bodies, and they were using that and recycling that linen off of those dead mummies. All right. Number 13. Number 13. Brother Floyd, are you there? All right. There we go. Now, not like was in the movie now. He said, surely it's known. He thought he was hiding when he did the deed. But you know what? God had a plan for him all the time, didn't he? He had a wife for him over there in Midian. He just didn't know about it yet. And so he split the scene. All right? He took off. Number 15. What happened to number 15, Brother Randall?
When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well.
Now remember, what happens at wells? All right, what happens at wells in the Bible?
Find your wife.
That's where, if you wanted to find a wife or if you wanted to find a husband, go out there and sit by the well. Because it's going to happen. All right. Brother Wally, number 16.
And the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and filled the troughs of water with their father's flock, to water their father's flock.
All right. Now here we have the Arabian continent, which is a very dry place, but they got a well here, and people would come from many miles around, and they would water their flocks at this well. Now, these girls had been having trouble. All right? They've been having trouble. watering their flocks there because there was a bunch of no never do wells out there and hooligans, honyaks, rascals. And what happened here now? Number 17, Brother Wally.
And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock.
All right. Now, in verse number 18, now Moses, he's a fighter, I guess. So he gets up and he protects these girls. And then in verse 18, I want you to see this other name here. All right. Remember what? Jethro. Now, what's his other name here? All right. Remember his name? All right. Reuel. All right. His name was Jether. By the way, what does Jethro mean? All right. Jethro. What does that mean? Preeminence. And then Reuel. What does Reuel mean? God is your friend. Or the friend of God. All right, Reuel. Just think about that. Now, what did Midian mean? Do you remember what the name Midian mean? The land of fighting or the land of contention. All right. And who was here? Who was this family? Where did they come from?
Keturah,
Abraham's other wife. These were the descendants of Keturah. This, if you go back and you go back into the different Genesis 25 and you go back and find out where the Midianites came from, the Midianites came from Keturah, and this is, and Jethro is a priest of Midian, so he knew something about the promises of Abraham, and here we are. They're related. It doesn't tell you about this, but people back then liked to marry relatives. So here he goes. He's out there in Egypt. Now he goes over here and he finds out one of his cousins over here. And he's not only a cousin, but he's a priest. And he's got some pretty daughters, seven of them. Seven is the number what in the Bible? Perfection. All right. So here we are. Jethro is preeminence. And number 9, by the way, in your syllabus. While in the desert land of Midian, Moses meets the daughters of Jethro, all right, who were herding sheep, and he went with them and soon began herding sheep for Jethro and later married one of the daughters named Zipporah. All right? Zipporah. What does Zipporah mean?
Little bird.
Little bird. All right. Little bird. Let's go back. Now, here we have his relative. Now, where did we end up there?
18.
All right, 18. 18, Brother Wally.
Okay. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?"
All right, number 19, Sister Alfreda.
And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds.
All right, so he was dressed like an Egyptian, evidently, so they called him Egyptian, but actually he was one of their family. All right, number 20, Anna.
They were itchy, their father asked. Why did you leave him there? Invite him to come and eat with us.
All right, now here is a prospect. He's going to get something out of this old boy.
Okay.
He's going to unload one of his daughters. Brother Mike, 21.
And Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses.
All right. Gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Now, he's called the friend of God, Reuel. Number 22. Now she's in the family way here. She has a child. Brother Yeah. He knew I was talking to him.
And she said, very soon he called his name Gershom, where he said, "A stranger I am in a strange land."
All right. He is a stranger there. That's what Gershom means, stranger there. A stranger there. Where he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Number 23. Number 23. Brother David.
Now it came about in the course of those days, those many days, that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God.
All right, now here we have the fulfillment of some things. This was spoken of in prophecy to Abraham. It was even spoken to Noah. What would happen before this? This had been known what was going to happen for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now the fulfillment has come, and they've been in the land for about 400 years now. All right? So, what's going to happen now? They're starting to cry out. God is preparing them. Not only does God prepare a way out and prepare the Messiah, but He's got to prepare the hearts of the people so they will do what He's supposed to do. Number 24. Number 24, David.
So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Go ahead to number 25.
And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them.
All right. God knew. All right. Hebrews 11 and verse 24, it talks about this in the New Testament also. Now, chapter number 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, all right? Remember what Jethro meant? Remember what Jethro meant? All right. He's a patriarch, preeminence, all right? A priest of Midian. Take note of that, the priest of Midian. Now this guy was a spiritual leader. He was the heir of his family. And basically, in a way, he was carrying on the promises of Abraham in his idea, because he knew the promises that God had made to Abraham, that his children would be like the what? The sands of the sea and like the stars of heaven. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Brother Wally, you told me a little bit about this area there a little bit earlier now.
Well, in fact, Horeb is Mount Sinai.
That's right. Now, who owns this today?
The Saudi Arabia. And the mountain, if you look at it, I saw I have a picture of it. The mountaintop is black.
Mm-hmm.
Where God burned it.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's the place
where
there.
Nobody can get
they
it.
Don't let anyone go in there.
They have a big fence around it, guards all 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. They don't want anybody up there.
It's an archaeological site. No one.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want anybody there.
They don't want anybody to know the truth.
Well, why? Why don't they? Saudi Arabia, what? Saudi Arabia, where did all the people of 9/11, where did they come from? Where were they citizens of? Saudi Arabia. There's our problem right there. Can anybody live in Saudi Arabia as a Christian? No. You cannot pray?
Not openly.
Not openly. Can you even go into the city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia?
No.
No. You'll kill you.
Saudi says all non-Muslims drive off here.
Yeah. Do not go there. All right. They do not even admit that Israel is a nation, nor that Israel is a people. Now, what happened at Mount Sinai? They want to deny it was even ever existed. As a matter of fact, they deny that Solomon ever built a temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that? They deny that there was ever a temple in there, period. They will not even admit it. Because if they admitted it, then Israel should have that where they have the Dome of the Rock. That's where the temple should be in that area. And number...
Well, Satan is the master deceiver and master liar, so... But he can't let the truth out.
No. They want to suppress the truth or anything that they might find over in this area. Well, it's there. One of these days we'll have access to it. All right, number two. Number two. Now we have a theophany. All right, Brother Randall.
An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed.
All right. Brother, are you there again? Read that one for me. Are you in that old Sacred Name Bible?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Number three, right?
Yeah, number two.
Number two?
Mm-hmm.
Then appeared the messenger of Jehovah unto him in a flame of fire from the midst of a thorn bush.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, and lo, a thorn bush burning with fire, and yet the thorn bush was not consumed.
So we have the angel of Jehovah. We have Jehovah himself here is what we have. This is Jesus. Jesus appears to Moses. All right? This is the same Jesus that walked in the garden with Adam. All right? This is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is a theophany. Number three, now number three.
And Moses said, let me turn aside, pray, and see the straight sight, while the thorn bush blows and not burned up.
Okay, now, lightning could strike out there. There's a lot of static electricity. You get windstorms in the desert, and fires start. Did you know that? I was up in Nevada one time where I lived up there in Fish Lake Valley, and I had antennas all over the place, and I had an antenna about 1,000 foot long. It was a wire that I talked on and received on. And I was in the house, and boy, we had a bad windstorm one day, and dust was blowing, and I heard something. I smelled something first. It smelled like fire. Well, I didn't have anything on in the house. I didn't have the wood stove going or anything else, and here I smell this fire, and then I hear something going, and I got to looking around. It was coming from over by my radio, and I looked over there behind the antenna tuner, and fire was jumping this far, like a spark, great gigantic spark is what it was. And I went out there and got my welder's gloves on, and I cut that wire. Now, static electricity is in that. And out in the desert, it is not uncommon for a bush like this to catch on fire. But, how many of you ever burned tumbleweeds, dry tumbleweeds? How long did they last? Woof, like you had gasoline on them. Go woof, and they're gone. Real hot, and they burn up, and it's gone. That's what should have happened. But it didn't. He wanted to know why this bush kept on burning and kept on burning, kept on burning. So he goes over there, all right, to look at this bush. Why didn't it burn up? Number four. Number four, young lady.
When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am.
All right. He calls to Moses. God calls him out of the bush. Later on, the Shekinah glory of God will appear and it will stand over the Ark of the Covenant. There. That's the same glory that he saw right there. The Shekinah glory of God. Moses, and said, here I am. Number five. Just go right on ahead there.
Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.
All right. Now this is really important. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Jesus refers to it in the New Testament where he talks about him when the Jews were questioning him, who are you? And he said, Abraham saw me and Moses saw me. That's who he's talking about right here. And he is going to quote this verse in this area right here. And verse number 5 says that take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground. And by the way, those are underbinders. That's what shoes were called, underbinders. That sounds funny, underbinders, but that's what it means. Back then, they didn't have shoes like we do, not Nike or whatever, or SAS or anything. They had a sole that they tied on top. They tied it under their feet. That's literally called underbinders. All right? What?
Jerusalem cruisers.
Yeah, Jerusalem cruisers. All right. Number six. Number six. Tony, you can't read that? Hernando, can you read it?
He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses put his Moses in his face. He was afraid to look at God.
After he found out who he was he's afraid to look at him. because it's not terrible. He wasn't some spook, but the glory of God. Mankind, when you see who you are, you just can't look at the glory of God because He is as pure and He is righteous. All right? He said, I am. Ego eimi, it says in the Greek Septuagint. Hakya. I am the ever eternal one, the ever existing one. The God of Isaac and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. And number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings, their much sufferings. Number 8, David.
So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and Hittite and Amorite and Perizzite and the Hivite.
All right, the Jebusites, the city of Jerusalem, the old name was Jebus. Came from the Jebusites. These are all the descendants of Canaan. Right here. And God had put them in the land. Why did God curse this people? He cursed them through Ham's descendants. When Ham dishonored his father, he cursed this bunch right here. That's when it happened, all the way back in the time of Noah. Because he knew what they would be like. He knew what they would be like way beforehand. And now we find that their iniquity is rising up to God. God is going to take their land away from them because they were wicked. They did not, every one of them knew who God was, but they did not worship Him as God. Number nine, Brother Wally.
Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them.
Go ahead.
Now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
All right. Genesis 15, 12 through 21. Go back to Genesis 15. 12 through 21. Let's go back. We need to look at it. Genesis 15. The 15th chapter of Genesis. Are you there, Randall?
Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs.
There we are.
Will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years.
Who is he telling this to?
Abraham.
All right, here is the prophecy fulfilled right here. And number 11 now. Number 11. Yes, Bill.
I have a question real quick. Says Pharaoh died. And
the other Pharaoh died.
Yeah, Pharaoh died. There's no Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Back.
Yeah.
Isn't it a good observation that because he was raised with the Egyptian, that Moses personally knew the new Pharaoh?
These are a total different dynasty. There was a war in Egypt and everything else, and this is a total bit different bunch of people.
Okay, that would have been Pharaoh's.
Yeah, no. This is a whole different bunch of people. They're in Egypt now. The other Pharaoh died, and there's been a war there, and different people took over, and they're using the Hebrews as slaves. All right? So this is a whole bunch. Number 11 now. Number 11. Who's that? Brother Floyd? All right. Who am I? I don't want to do it, is what he said. I don't want to. Yeah, Brother Bill, did you ever tell your wife something and she said, I don't want to? Fernando, ever happened to you? That ever happened to any of you guys? Yeah, I don't want to. That's exactly what Moses told the Lord. I don't want to. I don't want to. Don't want to do it. Who am I? And verse number 12, this is God's answer now. Verse number 12, young lady, you want to answer that? Read that for me.
And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.
You will worship God on this mountain. That's a very important mountain, isn't it, Brother Wally?
Yep.
And it's being hid from the world today, from these unbelievers. All right? They call us unbelievers and dogs, but they are unbelievers.
And then they take tours and then they go to Mount Catherine. This is Mount Sinai.
Yeah, they call that Mount Sinai. That's where the Codex Sinaiticus was when Tischendorf went up there. All right. The Codex Sinaiticus is one of the... There were 50 Bibles written in the 300s. Constantine had 50 Bibles printed, and one of the Bibles was on that mountain there in that... whatever you call the thing. Monastery. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to them, What is his name? What shall I say to them? We don't even know. They knew what the name of all the Egyptian gods were, by the way. They had got polluted while they were in Egypt. They were polluted. They did remember the promise. But God prepared them because the new kings came on and they used these people as slaves. At one time they were dignitaries in the land, but now they're slaves. All right. Number 14. This is a very, very important place in the Bible. Number 14. There you go.
Elohim came up to Moses.
Elohim came up to Moses.
I will become whatsoever I please.
I shall become. Is talking to you, the ever existing one. I am who I am, the eternal existing one, and the one who shall become. All right? That's beautiful. Go ahead now.
Thou shalt now say to the sons of Israel, I will become how sent me unto you.
All right. I will become, or the existing one, or the one who shall become, Jehovah has sent me to you. Isn't that beautiful? Jehovah has sent me to you. Number 15, Brother Mike.
And God furthermore said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.
Beautiful thing. Brother,
how do you say, I am? In Hebrew or in Greek?
I am as Ego Eimi. That's what it's going to say in the Septuagint. Haya Esher Haya is Hebrew. All right? I am the existing one, the ever existing one, but the one, Haya, is what the word Jehovah is the root of. The becoming one, or the existing one. Brother Luis, would you read that in your translation, and then I'll get right back to you. Read that in your translation there.
And Elohim said, Get further unto Moses. Thou shalt now say unto the sons of Israel, Jehovah, Elohim of your fathers, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name to the times, age abiding, and this is my memorial to generations after generations.
All right, that's beautiful. That's a good translation of that from Hebrew. Very good there. That's the Sacred Name Bible. All right. Sister Andino, you had a question.
Yes. In this Bible it says, I will become.
That's the root of Hayah, which is Jehovah, the one who shall become. Jehovah spoke to them. That's who? Jesus in the Old Testament, that's who it was.
And in my Bible it says, I am.
Yeah. But his Bible is getting the Hebrew idea. The Hebrew idea is the Haya, Asher Haya, but it is the one who shall become. It's talking about Jehovah. All right. Brother John, number 16.
Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.
All right, saying, I am, again, I am the Eternal One, the One who shall become, indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. Isn't that beautiful now? Here is the God of their fathers talking to them, the God that made the covenant with Abraham. Isaac confirmed it with Jacob, and Jacob had his bones taken out of there. And then Joseph tells them, you don't leave my bones down in here. We're going to leave out of here one of these days, and don't forget to take me with you. All right? Don't leave me down here. We're going to go, and how many years later? Over 300 years old, older than the United States of America later. That was going to be fulfilled. Brother John, number 17.
And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Genesis 9 and 25. Remember, this is set way back. Genesis 9 and verse 25 now. Genesis 9, 25, Brother Randall.
So he said, first be Canaan, as a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers.
All right, cursed be Canaan. That's what is going on. They're cursed. That man, that father, cursed his descendants because of who he was and what he did. All right. So there we have the land of flowing with milk and honey. It was a good land, and the Canaanites had possessed it for a while, but what did they do? What did the Canaanites do? They polluted it, the beautiful land. They polluted the beautiful land, and they didn't deserve it. So God's going to take it from them and give it to one that does deserve it. And how did He make them deserve it? Because He chose them. And He knew what they'd be. And not very many of them would get to go into the land at all, did they? Just a small portion. Just a small portion. Number 18. Number 18 now. Exodus 3 and 18. Can you see that yet, Brother Rex? Okay.
Then they will heed your voice. You shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.
All right. The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim of the Hebrews. What does the word Hebrews mean? What does the word Hebrews mean? Those from beyond the river, which was the Euphrates and the Tigris and the Euphrates. That's where they had come from originally. All right. Number 19. Number 19. Fernando. All right. Now he's talking to Moses now, and he's telling him, he said, I know that Pharaoh will not let you go. Why does God know this? Because He's God. As simple as that. God is omniscient. All right, He knows what's going to happen before it ever happens. Number 20. Now, Exodus 7 and 13 is where that fulfills that verse, if you want to cross-reference that one, Exodus 7 and 13. Brother Randall.
320?
Yeah.
So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let me go.
All right, now what he says here, he said, I'm going to strike my hand against Egypt and against all of Egypt's gods. He's going to strike down every one of Egypt's gods and show him that he is more powerful than they were. All right, and we're going to see this in all the miracles. We're going to see how God strikes down each and every one of their gods. Number 21, Randall.
And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed.
Genesis 15, 13 and 14. Genesis 15, 13 and 14. That's the fulfillment of that. This was all prophecy many years before. Genesis 15. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Genesis 15? No? Okay. Randall.
What verses?
15, 13, and 14.
God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions.
All right, they're going to leave rich. They left rich enough to build that tabernacle with all the gold and silver in it. These people wanted to pay them to leave when God got through with them. They wanted to pay these people to leave. All right? I tell you what, I've known of people that get sometimes people got renters in their houses that they would pay them to leave. That happened, doesn't it? Well, these people here in this land, they wanted to pay them to get out of there. When Abraham went down there and God struck Pharaoh at that period of time, what did Pharaoh do? He paid him to leave and escorted him out of the land. Here's going to happen again. All right? Number 22, and that's where we're going to finish for today. Number 22, Louise.
When every woman should ask of her neighbor and of her that sojourn in their house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and mantles, and you shall put them upon your son and upon your daughters, for you shall use for the Egyptians.
All right, you're going to plunder the Egyptians. All right, go right back to Genesis 5 and 15 and verse 14. That's a fulfillment of all this. This is all prophecy. This didn't just fall out of the sky. It was supposed to happen this way. All right? It was supposed to happen this way. It was all prophecy, all beautiful. How did Jethro get in the land? God placed him in the land of Midian. And Jethro here, is used of God. One of his daughters marries Moses. And here all of the whole story is set in motion. And we see it. Now, if God can do that 2,000 plus years ago, He can definitely take care of you today. He can definitely take care of you today. Thank you for your attention. We'll take up there next week. And let's see, where we are we on? We're over on page. What page are you in the syllabus? 43? See, mine is different than yours. So we'll catch up there in number 43, and we'll go back over some of this stuff, and we'll take up right there. In the...
I have a question.
Yes. A priest of Midian. Jethro was a priest of Midian. He went right along. He even gave Moses advice and everything else. I think this guy was a believer all the time, as far as I can tell. He went right along with everything. He didn't give Moses any trouble at all, did he? Not at all. God prepared Jethro also. And remember what Jethro meant? Huh? Preeminent one. All right, exalted one. All right, so here we have God has just laid out the story before it ever happened. And when we come along to the New Testament, it's no surprises to the Jews at all. They knew who the Messiah was. He was born in the right place. He was born King of the Jews. Everything. There He was. He came to them. He took over His kingdom. And they didn't want Him, did they? Knowingly, just like Adam sinned in the garden, knowingly Adam sinned. Not the woman. The woman was deceived, but Adam sinned knowingly. And Adam brought the curse on the human race, not Eve. Adam did. And Israel brought a curse upon themselves, didn't they? Because they were going to be scattered out in the land. And then He said in the last days that He will gather them back again when He gets ready to deal with them. And do you see how the Bible just is so beautifully put together? There aren't really a whole lot of surprises, are there? We can see what's going on. And politically in the world today, And where everything is going right now, it's going according to Hoyle. Just like down the line. You know what's going to happen? Exactly what's supposed to happen. Sometimes we have to bite the bullet and just go on with the thing. That's just the way it is. Brother David, it's your turn. Go out and do something eternal this week.